The man who would be able to tell us much more about June baseball and certainly being successful at the highest level in D1 baseball, our good friend, joining us once again. Started last week. He'll be with us throughout the remainder of the baseball season. We say hello to Jim Thomit, joining us here on Sports Talk tonight. Coach, how you doing? Welcome back into Sports Talk.
Hey, guys. I'm doing great, man. Doing great. I heard Phil was on vacation. Must be nice. Must be nice.
We can only take so much of corn, so we have to send him away every now and then. We actually sent him out of the country this time, so we'll see if he comes back.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
So how was your week?
Stuff going on in college baseball right now. It's getting crazy, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and this was as crazy a weekend as possible, especially in the SEC. So let's start there. What was your sense of what's going on with South Carolina being swept for the first time this season and losing all three at Kentucky?
Well, you just can't play great every weekend, and South Carolina pretty much up until the Auburn series was maybe the top team in the country, so they're going through a hard time right now, but I think once they get healthy, I mean, you're looking at the second baseman, third baseman, and shortstop, which also affects who's catching, and then they got a couple arms down. They just got to get healthy, and I think things will be fine, but it's always been difficult for us to go to Kentucky and play. It's just, even though they have the new ballpark, and it's really, really nice, I remember going there way back when I was with Coach Tanner at South Carolina, and the ball just seemed to fly there, and it was very difficult to win. It's usually cold there, but give credit to Kentucky. They're number one in the RPI, so it isn't like South Carolina is losing to the Sisters of the Poor right now. they lost two out of three against Auburn, and Auburn can really swing the bats, and Kentucky, I think they have the number one strength of schedule as well. I mean, they're a good program, and they're hot right now.
You talked about the injuries to Lee Croy and Wimmer, and also, of course, Will McGillis, who was having such a fabulous year, especially hitting the long ball with 10 home runs before he got hurt. In your mind, is it just as simple if those guys get healthy, plug them back in the lineup, and the Gamecocks will revert to the team we saw in March and April for the most part?
Well, I have no doubt that Coach Kingston and Coach Lee are going to get it going. I mean, they're going to, you know, they've had a great year, and this is just a bump in the road. There's a lot of hurdles, and you just got to keep jumping over them, but you're looking at, it wasn't just, I mean, you got McGillis out at second base and LaCroix out at third and Wimmer out at short, but it also moved Messina from catcher to third. So it affected, you're talking about four positions on the field, okay? So, yeah, the pitchers need to get back to pitching like they were, but I think when we can get LaCroix back at third, Wimmer back at short, McGillis at second, have a normal lineup with Messina catching, I just feel like the things are going to start clicking again. And you know, all year long, Petrie, he might be the National Freshman of the Year, and he's going through a little bit of a lull. So once he gets back on track, I really feel like Wimmer coming back, which he will eventually, LaCroix and McGillis are almost ready to come back. You'll get Messina back behind the plate, where I think he's a little bit better back there. And you know, he's handling the pitchers really well. I mean, the ERA was in the top 15 nationally, and it was one or two in the SEC for a while. And that was with Messina back there catching. So the guys that have replaced our guys that have been hurt have done a nice job. But once we get back, them three players, I think the pitchers will feel a little bit better when you're on the mound and you have your best shortstop and your best second baseman, your best third baseman, your best catcher, and you have your best defenders out there. I think that's something the pitchers will welcome. So I'm ready for the Gamecocks to get hot.
Well, they might, Coach. Jim Thomit joining us as he does every week here on Sports Talk. And, Coach, you know, you just mentioned that the pitchers might feel a little bit more comfortable. And what I find so interesting is this midweek game coming up. Now the Gamecocks, they need a win, right? They almost like you want a palate cleanser. You want to win a ball game. So when you were meeting, say, you and Ray Tanner were coaching together, how did you approach a game like this where you – I know you want to win every game, but is there a bit of an extra focus and maybe you throw a guy, a reliever you normally would have held for the weekend and throw him here because you think we need these guys to get that winning feeling back a little bit?
Yeah, you have a tendency to want to do that, but you got to also, you know, you got to keep in the back of your mind that, you know, you got six conference games left, and you're trying to win four or five of them, so you can, you know, right now in our case at South Carolina, we're trying to hold on to that national seed. If you can finish in the top eight, and you win a regional, you know, you're guaranteed to host the super. So there's a lot on the line right now. And, yeah, the midweeks are important, but so are the weekends. So there's a balance that you have to look at there. And I think all the players, I think they know that it's go time right now, and it's time to get back to where we were and get that good feeling going again and had great chemistry. And I just feel like it's going to happen. I said, I just feel like, of course, I'm always positive, but I'm looking forward to seeing it happening.
And, you know, Coach, look, if you don't have starting pitching, you don't have anything. And the starting pitching has struggled a bit recently. Do you think, you know, you could tell us more about, the, you know, coaching through an entire season than we'll ever know. What is this a case of tired arms, perhaps? What do you do as a coach when you start seeing your starters struggle? Do you think maybe of giving them a you know, lighter work during the week? How do you handle it?
Well, be honest with you. I'm not a pitching guru or anything, although I've done a little pitching. I was a pitching coach for a while with Coach Tanner. That was a lot of blame days there because I recruited and did pitching at some point. If the pitchers were bad, it was my fault. If the hitters were bad, it was my fault. If we lost, it was my fault. It's a lot of blame days, but I don't think they're so much tired as you know, sometimes you need to, you know, catch your breath. And I know they do a great job with the pitching coach and making sure that the players' arms are fine and they stay in the weight room throughout the year with Billy Anderson. And I just have a feeling that you're going to have some ups and downs during the year. It's very difficult to go from game one to game 56 and be really good, you know, the whole time. The key is to get hot again. And now's the time. You know, when the regionals come, that's when you want to be at your best. So I feel like we'll get these guys healthy. I think the pitchers will feel better when they have everyone in the lineup. I think the team will feel better. I think they just need a couple wins to get back to where they were. But I don't think the pitchers are tired. I just think that, you know, sometimes you run into a hot team and obviously the last two weekends you're looking at teams that can really swing the bat. Let's see what happens midweek, and then we got to go to Arkansas, which is never easy. I think they're in the top five in the RPI again, and they got a really good program. The good thing, I think, Tennessee is hot, but they're not very good on the road. I think Tennessee is 2-11 on the road, so that's our last series. You always want to, you know, win a few games late and have some momentum going into the conference tournament. But, you know, the season has, you know, it's right now is where everything counts. And I think we're going to get healthy and we're going to get it going. You just got to, you know, the players have to realize that it's go time now and it's time to get healthy and it's time to make a run because this is a team that can finish in Omaha for sure.
Coach, look, two more nationally ranked teams in our state, Clemson and Coastal Carolina, and they're playing against each other on Wednesday. Clemson off to a slow start this year, but it's gone well recently. You obviously, you took a couple of jobs, and so you had to go through that first year. Was the slow start because it was Eric Bocic's first year with that group? Or, you know, what are the challenges of that, and why do you think they played so well recently?
Well, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get adjusted to a new coach. And I know Coach Bakich and And I know Nick Schnabel, their assistant. He was one of my assistants at Liberty, and they're really good coaches. But I think the reason they're playing better now, I think they're relaxed. They had nothing to lose. I think they started 2-8 in the ACC, and I think they've just come together. I think a big key was getting that the big lefty on the mound. You know, he was a hitter, and now he's a pitcher. He's both, but he's a legitimate one or two guy for them, and their bullpen's been pretty good. But they're on a little bit of a roll right now, and I think the reason they're playing well is I think they figured out, you know, that they need to pitch the big lefty, and that you know, they're getting some new guys that really swinging the bat well for them. They got a center fielder over there, a freshman that's really good that Monty Lee recruited. And, you know, Monty had really good players. He did a really nice job recruiting. And so I'm not surprised that Clemson has got it going. And really, honestly, I'm hoping and I really think that Coastal and South Carolina and Clemson, all three teams in the state, should and will be hosting a regional. So that'll be fun for the in-state fans.
Yeah, and we'll be there. Coach, we'll let you go on this one. You know, I think it raised a lot of eyebrows. A lot of us were surprised to see there was a gambling problem there at Alabama, and then now Iowa State seemed to have gotten ensnared into something too. I mean, what did it say to you? What was your reaction to somebody that's in the industry to know that a coach like down at Alabama had actually gotten caught up in something like this?
Yeah, we really don't know what the details of how it went down, but I think that it just seems like gambling all around has become legalized in a lot of states, and it's still against the NCAA rules to gamble in your own sport. So it's always been a thing with compliance. When I was coaching, that's the first thing you knew not to do is gamble. So I never gambled on football, baseball, basketball, whatever. I don't think about 40 years. I'm not going to say I didn't do it when I was, you know, 25 years old, but I learned after about two or three bets that I wasn't a good gambler. So I shut that down pretty good, but I feel bad for, you know, the coach that was involved. He's a good person, a good man. He just got tied up in something. I'm not sure exactly what went down, so I'm not one to lay blame on anyone or judge anyone. So hopefully he can get that straightened out. Alabama seemed to rally behind that, and they beat Vanderbilt 2 out of 3. And I mean, they're looking like they're going to be in a regional now. I mean, the SEC is you're looking at 10, maybe even 11 teams. Georgia has some work to do, but you talk about the strength of the SEC. Just so people understand this, there's 14 teams, and 12 of them make the SEC tournament. The two teams that won the national championship the last 2 years are Mississippi State and Ole Miss, and right now they're 13 and 14 in the SEC. They may not even make the SEC tournament, and you're talking about two teams that won the national championship in the last 2 years. So the conference is incredibly good, and it's looking like 10 or 11 SEC teams in the regional, and once again, the ACC is doing well. You know, I think they'll 7, 8, or 9 will make the regional. So it's a heck of a league, and looking forward to the next couple weekends and then the tournaments and a lot of stuff going on. A little shout-out, I think the women's softball team, I think they play tomorrow in the SEC softball tournament. I think they're playing Texas A&M at 2 p.m. And I think they have 34-35. The Gamecock softball team is having a good year, and hopefully tomorrow they'll be able to beat Texas A&M in the first round.
That's when the SEC tournament will start. Actually, on Wednesday is when they'll play, Coach, at 2 o'clock against Texas A&M. And you're right, 34 victories for Gamecock softball. Before we let you go, you dropped some Toman's notes on us last week. You have a couple of nuggets you want to pass along before we say goodbye
for
this week.
Yeah, I wrote down some nuggets. One of them, you're talking about a team, Ole Miss, that may not make the conference tournament, right? They had a player last weekend – Kelvin Harris that hit four home runs against Missouri, but not in the series. It was four home runs in one game. I thought that was tremendous. Then the other thing is, which I think is pretty big, going back to softball. I know I'm a baseball guy, but there is a player at the University of Florida that her name is Skylar Wallace. And for anyone that doesn't know anything about softball, she has video game numbers. She's hitting .455. She's got 18 jacks. She's walked 46 times and only struck out 13, which is an unbelievable ratio. And in baseball, if you're 1-to-1 walks to Ks, you're a pretty good hitter. Well, she has 46 walks and only 13 Ks, 66 runs. She had 30 stolen bases. I don't know what her problem was. She got caught once, so she's 30 out of 31 on the bases. And but anyway, that's kind of crazy. She's a left-handed hitter, and that's just unbelievable. I've never seen numbers like that, but she might be the best player in the country, so she'd be worth going to Arkansas just to see that. We're watching on TV. I'm sure it's on TV this week. And I think Tennessee is the number one seed in the softball tournament this year. So hopefully the Gamecocks get a chance to play them and beat them.
Jim Thoman, our guest here tonight. He'll join us every Monday at this time, talk a little baseball as we get ever closer to conference tournament time and the NCAA tournament. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time so much, especially the little nuggets. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys, you take it easy. Tell Kornblut to get on bat. He's the guru.
He is indeed. We appreciate it, Coach. All right, that's Jim Thoman. And he was talking about Skylar Wallace. As a team, Florida, Smitty, is 81 of 87 in stolen bases. They like to run. They certainly like to run. And two of their players have 54 of those 81 stolen bases. Kendra Falby is the other one. She's batting just .392 on the year. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back and wind things down this Monday, race week, here in South Carolina. Back to a finish checkered flag here on Sports Talk.